Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Steve, you did the story about Martin Sandoval. Do we call him Marty or Martin?
I think we call him Martin.
Maybe less these days. So this is this Illinois senator who is in charge of the Transportation Committee and was steering deals towards this red light camera company.
That or protecting the camera company from laws that might hurt it.
Right. Okay. So he's running interference for them.
Right.
And then they are giving him some money under the table.
A lot of money.
And it sounds like other people were getting money too. So then one of the representatives from this red light company is wearing a wire at a restaurant in the suburbs, and they record him, and he's going, look, I'm doing all of the work here. Everybody else is getting money for nothing. How come I can't get more money? Even though he was getting money.
Right.
And the amount of money that we're talking about is $250,000.
For the senator, yes.
I'm just going to be this way for the rest of my life. I'm still amazed that people get caught doing stuff like this in Chicago or Illinois. When are these people? Subscribe to the Tribune. It's in there every day. You will get caught.
Well, maybe or maybe not. Maybe that's why people keep doing it, because there's so many others who haven't been caught.
That's maybe the scariest interpretation of this, and maybe the most logical one. Why would they do it? Because, John, you have no idea how vast it is.
Right.
That for every guy that gets caught and you go see another one, there's 92 guys going, hey, this is working out great for me. I got a new swimming pool. I don't know if they have swimming pools, but you get my point.
That'd be a bad investment here, I think. It's not warm enough.
Our friend Kristen McQuarrie writes editorials for and columns for the Chicago Tribune, follows the state scene as well as anybody. And I asked her just to tell me what I'm missing here. Hey, Kristen, it's John. Steve is here, too. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jump in there anytime, Kristen. What am I missing?
Oh, you're not missing anything. I mean, I think we are a state that is known for corruption. This is obviously very blatant, and what surprises me too. I mean, even though I've been covering government for as long as I have, this is someone who was taking cash bribes after the raid at Ed Burke's office, after everyone knows the feds are kind of sniffing around, after there are questions about who might be wearing a wire. He is still doing these transactions with this person for SafeSpeed who was undercover for them. That person has donated a lot of money to candidates. SafeSpeed has donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to candidates. The plea agreement with former Senator Sandoval mentions five other participants who took bribes as part of criminal activity. We don't know who those five are yet.
Really?
The U.S. attorney, who doesn't normally speak on these kinds of issues, did come out and talk to reporters a little bit. John Lausch, he's a Trump appointee who's been there since 2016, and he basically said, we're just getting started.
Who else, then, are the other five? I mean, are we talking about state lawmakers, right?
It could be elected officials. It could be mayors. Separately, in a couple of federal raids, the Sun-Times has reported that the Oak Brook Terrace mayor was found with $60,000 cash in his house.
Yeah, I love that.
There is still a sitting Cook County commissioner. I'm not sure why there hasn't been discussion of him to be ousted at this point and step down, but Commissioner Jeff Tobolsky, $51,000 in cash found in his home. Again, that's not a crime, but these are people who were advocating hard for these cameras to be installed.
So it's not a crime to have $60,000 in cash, although, boy, would my wife be surprised if I had a duffel bag or maybe a safe. But what is the purpose of having all of that cash in your home? We have ATMs. We have debit cards. You could put that money in the bank. It would seem to me like it's not so much the keeping of the money or the having of the money as it is the reporting of the money. I'm just talking speculatively here. But if I gave you cash and you deposited it, then there'd be a record of that. But if I gave you cash and you just left it in your home, you wouldn't have to have a record of it. And you don't want to have a record of it because it's ill-begotten. I mean, that's what that looks like, right, Kristen?
Well, sure. Just hypothetically speaking, if you have $60,000 cash, it's not traceable. So imagine all the times that you do use your debit card now, getting gas, groceries, restaurants, all of that is at your disposal to pay in cash if you have a stash like that. So it also ensnares, it calls into question the top CEO of SafeSpeed,
right,
who is also very politically connected, who has said all along, we don't pay people off. I don't know anything about this. She is sort of mentioned offhandedly in the plea agreement when the senator is asking how they can divide up the money that's going to go into his campaign account.
Every time there's a story like this, that's the other part that amazes me, if I may, Kristen, and that is, okay, I'm naive enough to be thunderstruck by the criminality of our lawmakers. But then on the other side, there's these businessmen and women who, that's weird. Hey, guys, how do you justify that to the accountant or the bursar, the CEO or the CFO, all of the people that are in a big multi-million dollar company like that? How do you say, I need $60,000 in $20 bills, and I need another $50,000. Oh, and I need $250,000. I mean, where's the accounting on that, if nothing else? And so those people are just as criminal as the state lawmakers, right?
I mean, it's a good question. How do you come up with $60,000 cash? Or like you're saying, I mean, one of the bribes was $15,000. The companies will say probably that, you know, they were doing lobbying activity. They were hiring these people as consultants.
Huh.
That's always a popular reason to throw people on your payroll. Obviously, Commonwealth Edison is under scrutiny for hiring a bunch of lobbyists, and there's a question as to whether or not there was any actual lobbying work that was done. They make a lot of money. I mean, there was a bill in Springfield to eliminate red light cameras. Not for this reason specifically, but this bill was floating around. So this is why they paid what they called in the plea agreement protection money, to make sure that that bill didn't get called to a vote.
But if there's money, Kristen, that much money changing hands or floating around for the lawmakers, the higher-ups in the companies involved have got to know, right? I mean, this money's coming from someone. Has to be approved at some level.
When we have a party here, somebody counts the pizzas. I mean, literally,
right,
we're talking $15 pizzas. I know we're a small company compared to these other ones, but answer that question.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's hard to imagine that in these companies like this that there aren't executives who know this is going on. And I'm not implicating anyone by saying that. I don't have any specific knowledge of that. I just think it would be hard to explain why this money is shoveling out the door. There's another example in the plea agreement where they tried to come up with kind of a baloney company, Senator Sandoval says. And so some of the money the Tribune traced to this consulting company that I think is a legit consulting company. But, you know, they're just trying to find all different ways to mask bribery.
So the consultants and the lobbyists, those are legitimate occupations, right?
Oh, sure. Yes. I think what we're learning is just a more lifting of the curtain. I mean, there are a couple points where Sandoval, the money is just going into his campaign fund. In Illinois, if you had money in your campaign fund prior to 1998, when a law was passed, you are allowed to spend that on personal items. You can pay your mortgage with campaign money as long as you report it to the IRS. I know. It is completely Wild West, crazy stuff that Illinois allows it, but they do. And so in the case of Sandoval, the second count is that he didn't report money to the IRS, and that's what catches up a lot of these people. I mean, there's an argument to be made that campaign contributions in and of themselves are some sort of, you're wanting something in return if you're a big company and you're writing fat checks to elected officials.
630 texted in and said, hey, John, I'll bet those Democrats, if they ran for re-election, would still get re-elected. Let's hear it for Illinois! Exclamation point.
Yeah, I think we're up to 33 Chicago aldermen who've been marched off to prison based on some sort of corruption connected to their official role.
Well, that's barely more than half.
I've heard that as an explanation, but there's a lot who... One of our lawmakers was on, or an alderman, he goes, yeah, but a lot of them haven't. And I thought that is a very bad defense.
Kristen, so John said, why would a politician do this after others get caught? You know, why? And you just brought up Sandoval after the Burke raids. But, and I posed one possibility is that because we're just hearing about a small fraction of them who are actually doing it, and a big majority are not being caught. Is that possible? I mean, what percentage of the corrupt schemes do you think we're actually learning about?
I do not think that most lawmakers are taking cash bribes in restaurant parking lots. I really don't. I think a lot of the corruption in Illinois is more in the fabric of the way we just transact business. And it looks more like what Ed Burke is accused of doing. Give my law business some business, and then I'll be nice on these different types of legislation that you're looking for. I mean, they think they're untouchable. And in the case of Sandoval, remember, we just passed last session a $40 billion infrastructure program that went through his committee. And it's being paid for by you when you go to renew your driver's license. Your license plate fees are now higher. They raised all kinds of taxes on gasoline to push that through. And now I think it's legit to have some questions. And actually, the governor has said he's going to look through that bill more carefully. How many other little favors were stuffed into that program that taxpayers essentially were going to be paying for?
Does this sound a little bit, or maybe not, like what sent Blagojevich to prison? His argument, among others, was that's the way business gets transacted. We have not adequately defined what is and isn't legal lobbying in the state of Illinois. If you want to put some money in my campaign account, that's okay. If you want to do business with me, that's okay. And why wouldn't I notice that? And now we've got a relationship. We're working professional friends. And now I do like your hospital or construction company or whatever. And I am going to steer business your way. I mean, that is legitimately happening over and over again. And then when somebody steps afoul of the law, they say, wait a minute, when did the rules change? I completely understand that attitude out there, Kristen.
Well, there's a difference between what we would like to think is that different interests are giving money to lawmakers who legitimately have a concern. Let's say you're a lawmaker and you believe in school choice. You believe there should be charter schools. You believe it in your heart, and you push for legislation to create more school opportunities through charter schools and private schools for low-income kids. Well, who's going to support you? The charter schools. You know, that's a more legitimate transaction, and they're going to give money to your campaign account to make sure you get reelected, not in an envelope in a restaurant parking lot. But yes, these rules are, you know, you can put all kinds of laws on the books, but if we keep electing snakes in this state, they're going to find ways around them. And this is an example of that.
You think the rest of the snakes then would say, hey, we got some snakes in here, let's get them out. I mean, it tarnishes the lot of them. Heather Sharon, when I put this to her one time in our podcast, The Mincing Rascals, I said, you know, what percentage is it? And she goes, oh, it's the smallest fraction of people that are like this. But it doesn't seem that way to me. If I don't know how the other lawmakers or aldermen and women feel about it, but I would be so ticked at the Ed Burks and the Marty Sandovals and I'd be ticked at the Madigans of the world because they all look bad by association.
Yes, but are those people still serving? Yes, they are. Ed Burke is still serving on the city council. Mike Madigan is still chairman of the Democratic Party and Speaker of the House and a state rep. There's absolutely no, you know, there's no pressure on them for among Democrats to remove them because they're dragging the party down. I mean, these are people who are still in power.
Kristen McQuarrie's on the phone, editorial writer and columnist for the Chicago Tribune, follows the state scene so well. Her Twitter handle is Statehouse Chick, I believe.
Oh, it's not anymore.
Oh, you got rid of that.
It's McQuarrie Kristen, yes. It's just my name.
You've got more modern.
Okay, so can we draw, you were talking about the Democrats and why they won't stand up, and that's the state and local level. So is there a comparison to the federal level? Like, you know, Republicans, people say, why in the heck won't rank-and-file Republicans stand up against President Trump? It's because he's got the power over them to, whether it's by Twitter or whatever, really hurt them. Why won't a state legislator stand up against Mike Madigan? It's because he could squish him.
Really? Does he have that much power, Kristen?
Well, I mean, we're talking about people who are charged with crimes now at this point. There's a state rep. Now we have two state senators who are now one pleaded guilty. Another one is facing trial. It's a little different than just politics at the federal level. You have actual people being charged by the Justice Department. Does Mike Madigan have a lot of power? Yes. I mean, we talked before when I was on your show, John, about all the money he's still raising.
Oh, my gosh.
And lawmakers are dependent on that. They're like small children. They can't run their own races. They rely on him for his staff support, for mailers. They really just need to separate and go raise your own money, run your own campaigns, and then you don't have to be dependent on this corrupt apparatus.
Lastly, the meta question is, do these people get corrupt when they get into office, or were they corrupt people who thought this would be a good way to make a living? I've always wondered if the power corrupts them, the cash, the influence is intoxicating, or in fact, we just put snakes in to begin with.
I think it's a little of both, but more often than not, it's we elect people who have no intention of, you know, behaving in this way, and they get, like you said, intoxicated by the power, the money, the trips, the, you know, people who came from little means in some cases, and then all of a sudden you are getting invited to fancy parties and condos and boat trips, and you have your phone is ringing a lot. You have people asking you for things. You have control. I think it's very powerful and becomes sort of like a drug.
Kristen McQuarrie writes in the Chicago Tribune. Anything that I should be looking forward to from you in the paper anytime soon, Kristen?
Well, I mean, we'll be writing a lot about this. The governor is giving his State of the State address at noon, and we're waiting to see if he's going to address some of this in his remarks.
Be nice if he sort of drops some sort of hammer the way the mayor did. You know, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I don't know how you execute that, but it'd be nice if he said what we are all thinking, and that is this stinks and we're sick of it. You think something like that's going to come out of him?
I think so. I mean, he has said he's kind of nibbled around the edges, but he has the money to steer the party in a different direction, and he needs to come up with a very specific ethics plan if he wants voters to think that, you know, this is a legitimate change.
Yeah. An ethics plan in Illinois. That's an oxymoron. Well, I'll be anxious to see what that sounds like and looks like. And I don't mean to be so cynical. Let's root for that. We'll be listening, reading, and watching. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks, John. See you later.
Kristen McQuarrie writes for the Chicago Tribune.